This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So let's begin, shall we, with the budget deal that they agreed on yesterday and why I have a lot of problems with this. Now, the good news is it's not passed yet. So there's still time to change this. There's still time to speak up and change this, because I've got a couple fears. Obviously, number one is that we're just dooming our nation economically into the future. But number two, that the president's legacy is going to be tarnished by all this here. The Democrats are thrilled by this agreement. Republicans don't seem to care about spending anymore. And this is what, here are some of the facts. White House and Congress have a deal now, which will postpone a battle over the debt limit. I don't even know why they bother with the debt limit anymore, since it never, ever means anything. They just always kick the can down the road, always. Now, the agreement includes $75 billion in budgetary offsets. All right. Now, budgetary offsets are different from cuts. That's, I'll get into that in a second. But it will increase current spending caps by $320 billion over the next 2 years. And the spending hikes are going to be equally split between domestic programs and the military. So as you think about, well, we got to have a strong military and take care of our vets. We do, but we're also here spending a ton of money on more domestic programs. Again, the budget could add as much as $2 trillion to the national debt over the next decade, according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a nonpartisan group that favors balanced budgets. Now, some of the problems here with this plan include an increase in federal discretionary spending. So if this goes through, then the president now, if he signs it into law, will have authorized a 22% increase in federal discretionary spending during his first term in office. Remember, he signed that awful March 2018 budget deal that we were all very upset about. This would be a 22% increase in federal discretionary spending since he got into office. Now, I look at that as politically very problematic, potentially down the road. Very problematic. Also, I don't like the spending, but even just for political purposes, that's not a good place to be. It's not good for legacy purposes. It's not good for reelection purposes if the economy tanks or something like that. And we also now have a situation here where there's only a handful, and I mean a handful, of Republicans who are even speaking out about the budget anymore. The budget hawks are gone. They're basically gone. And the people that seem to care, used to care about spending, they just don't seem to care anymore. I mean, even Rush last week was saying, and this is what he said, quote, "All this talk about concern for the deficit in the budget has been bogus for as long as it's been around." Well, but we used to be hammering this stuff all the time. We used to hammer this stuff constantly. And now we're looking at the federal government spending more than $57 trillion over the next decade. That's according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, $57 trillion over the next decade. So in the context of a $50,000 annual household budget, that means that the proposed $75 billion in offsets is the equivalent of cutting $75 in personal spending every year and then hoping you'll get your finances together. That's the equivalent of it. Now, there's a group of very solid conservatives in the House. They're called the Republican Study Committee. I used to work for one of them years ago. He's no longer in Congress, but when he was, they are people that want to cut and slash and cut spending, and they want to do all this stuff. They've said now that this agreement will propel our country toward bankruptcy and fiscal crisis. And that's the real problem here. I think the other question to ask is, if the Democrats are so happy with it, doesn't that tell us everything we need to know? I think this is the perfect time for a good fight on the budget. I really do. I think this is a time to dig in and fight. Why not? I mean, the Democrats don't give the president anything he wants. Why would we give them more money to spend? That's the way I look at it. I think you dig in and fight. They fight him on everything. They fight him on the wall. They fight him on deportations. They fight him on customs and immigration. Why do we just roll over and go, all right, here's more money. Knock yourselves out. We're afraid of the fight. I don't think we should be afraid of the fight. I really don't. I think, if anything, now is the time to do it. The Congressional Budget Office presently projects that the federal government will add another $11.6 trillion to the deficit over the next decade. That means by 2050, the national debt is going to be more than 1.5 times the size of the entire U.S. economy, breaking a record set during World War II. Now, obviously, in a good economy right now, nobody really feels that pain. So it's not really a big deal. The problem, though, becomes if there's a recession or some other externality that happens, that then all of a sudden now we are feeling that pain. And then all of a sudden now the Republicans get painted like they did back in 2007 and 2008 as being drunken pirates, spending like drunken sailors, That's the problem right there. Think about what that did. And then you had Obama get selected by saying that he was going to change all that. He didn't. And then the Tea Party movement was born. And now here we are back in the same exact place. But the difference, though, of course, now is that Republicans still control one branch of the Congress. So, yes, the Democrats have the House. Republicans have the Senate. So this is the time now, I think, to dig in on this stuff here. Because, if I were advising the president, I would say you don't want your legacy to be that you have now added so much to the national debt. You don't want your legacy to be that you've increased spending by 25% since you got into office. You don't want, don't make that your legacy. Don't do that. You don't want that to be your legacy. 22% increase in federal discretionary spending. That's not, you don't want that. You want to be remembered like Reagan. You want to take these people on and fight them and beat the hell out of them and win. Because that's what has to happen here at some point. I mean, at some point, this has to happen. We can't keep going down this road of just spending and spending. I'd like to know this, too. What the hell are we going to do with another $320 billion in spending? Where is that going to go? What domestic programs? Where are you going to see that money? Am I going to see that money? Who's going to see that money is my question. I don't even know where that's going to go because they haven't said yet. So it's not a matter of me holding back on you. I don't know where it's going to go. I do know this, though. This is not law yet. This is only a deal. This is a budget deal. Not the law, and can still be stopped. It can still be changed, and it should, because we have seemed to stop caring about spending in this country. We've seen to stop caring about the debt. We've seen to stop caring about all these things. And I, for one, don't think that's a very smart idea. Look, it's one thing to argue that you have a budget deficit. That's one thing. But the debt, which is what the U.S. government owes, what the United States of America owes, I should say, that's a different story than a deficit. A deficit means your budget's a little short. All right. The debt, though. Now, that affects everything. And also, more spending. On what is my question? So this is what I think we have to figure out here. Because remember something, even though you might agree on spending, the House still controls where that money goes. And then this is an important point to remember here. And people forget this. When you have a broad brush omnibus spending bill, the House of Representatives, they decide, they appropriate where that money goes. So then you get this big chunk of money and go, here, House, led by the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, here's your $20 billion. Now you appropriate that money because appropriation bills start in the House. So then they do the Appropriations Committee and they sit around. They go, well, who needs money? This group get money. Why would you give these people more money to spend is my question. Why would you give them a dollar more money to spend? Now, I would fight them like hell on this. I think you have to, because otherwise we're going to wind up with more programs and more domestic spending programs, and it's going to be a nightmare down the road. And I don't like the fact that some conservative hosts have abandoned their position on this. I don't like it at all. It really bothers me. You can't be consistent. You got to be consistent in life. You can't for 20 years talk about fighting debt and deficits and spending and then all of a sudden now not care anymore. That's not good. That's not how this works. That happened under the Bush years. That happened under the Bush years, and then we're all paying the price for that now. And also, it hurt the Republicans for a long time. It hurt them for a long time. I don't think for a second Donald Trump loses one vote if he stands up and says, I'm not signing this bill, cut spending. I think he gains votes, actually. But I don't think he loses one vote, not one vote, if he says, we're not doing this, you got to cut spending. This is ridiculous. Who's going to say no to that? Who's going to stand up and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm out now? Nobody. That's the thing. There's a lot of people out there that would like to see that. So that's what needs to happen now. Of course, you're dealing with Democrats who are not going to agree to anything. I understand that. But then what are you getting for this? What are you getting for this? Are you getting your big, beautiful wall? If you're not getting that, then I have to ask the question, then who's negotiating this on behalf of the White House? Who's doing the negotiating here? I know it's not the president. He's got a lot on his plate. So who from the swamp is going down there and sitting down with McConnell and with the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, and negotiating this deal? Because it seems to me like we're getting nothing out of this thing. And we are just giving away the store here. So who's negotiating? Who is doing this? Is it Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary? Because that guy seems to me like I wouldn't even trust that guy to borrow my car for the weekend. Is it Mnuchin? Who's doing this? You can't just give away the store like this. You got to do better than this. You got to. Otherwise, they're going to roll over you. You give them this money, and what's going to happen is they're going to realize now that you're afraid of them. That's how it's going to look. It's going to be like, well, the Democrats, you know what? We're afraid of crossing them. No. They battle him on everything. They're trying to impeach him left and right. I say you draw a line in the sand, and you go, right now, this is going to be our epic fight. Boom, right now, to cut spending and to rein in government. Do it now. Start right now. 2019, perfect time to do it. Let them be painted as the party of big spending. Let them do it. Let them do it. Let them be the ones who own that. Let them own spending. Now, I'm telling you right now, you look at a lot of America, as America looks at all this stuff, they're waking up and they're looking at this today, and it may not affect them now. It may not. They may look at it and go, $2 trillion, and shrug and go, what's another $2 trillion? What's another $2 trillion when you already owe $30 trillion or whatever it is? Well, what are you going to do? But the problem is, if you have a recession, if you have an economic downturn, if you have anything that happens that causes people to then recognize what's happening in Washington with regards to spending, that's when people get very, very upset. You see it on the state level all the time because you're closer to it. You see it when you look at, say, the budget in my state of New Jersey or even Pennsylvania at times. When they're talking about spending more money and increasing discretionary spending, yet you're paying more in taxes for everything at every little level. Now, Democrats would argue, well, this is because we cut taxes for people and that's why now we have to spend more money. Huh? No, we're bringing in more revenue now. We're actually bringing in more revenue now because of the tax cuts. So the CBO now has said that we are now projecting the highest tax revenues coming into the government in decades. So the money's there. Money's coming in. The question is, why does Congress need to spend more of it? That's number one. Number two, we can't find things to cut. We can't cut things. We can't cut departments and agencies more than we're doing now. I mean, look, I give the administration a ton of credit on cutting regulations as fast as they're doing. Those have a tremendous cost. But why is the EPA the same size? The Department of Education, some of these other agencies, I have to ask those questions. I really do. But at some point now, we're going to wind up, and this is crazy, we're going to wind up looking towards a budget debt. Now, I'm not talking about the deficit. I'm talking about the debt, what the government owes, what we pay. Our interest payments alone and the national debt, the entire national debt, 2049, being 1.5 times the size of the entire U.S. economy. That's a scary number. And I know we always joke about the children and what do we say to the children? What do you say to the children at that point? Hey, kids, this is your legacy. Here, go pay this off for us. I don't know. I think we got to do better. Luckily, this isn't law yet, so I think it's time for everybody to speak up. I think it's time to say, make your voice heard. And if the White House hears from you and if the president hears from you and understands that you'll have his back in this battle, that's an important point. Because I don't trust a lot of the people in Washington who are in the Republican Party right now. I don't trust the advice they're giving him. I don't trust the members of Congress who are Republicans. I just don't trust these people. I think there's a gigantic, serious lack of backbone on display there. Gigantic. And there's, with the exception of maybe, well, look what happens, right? Rand Paul came out last week and said he has concerns about the unchecked spending of the 9/11 bill. Not that he doesn't want to do it. He's got concerns about the unchecked spending. What happens? He is instantly labeled as being an uncaring guy who hates people and isn't there for our first responders, right? So eventually, members of Congress look at that and go, you know what? It's not worth it. Just say yes to everything. Puerto Rico needs money? Say yes. Otherwise, you're going to be a racist and you don't like brown people. You look at Puerto Rico now. Puerto Rico, they want the governor to go because the governor is such an absolute sleazeball. The guy was caught mocking victims of the storm. Could you imagine if they had caught Donald Trump on video or audio or on instant message mocking victims of the storm? It'd be insane. But this guy might survive politically down there. But look at how many billions of dollars. We have tens of billions of dollars. All spent, corruption gone, didn't go to the victims that were victims didn't get the money. The agencies didn't get the money. All wasted money. But if you stood up back then and you said, I got a real problem with this, we got to make sure there's checks. People would have said to you back then, they would have said, you are a racist. You hate brown people. As a consequence of that, whenever there's a disaster now, everybody's afraid. Nobody on Capitol Hill wants to stand up and go, this is a big blank check we're given here. Because then you get, well, you hate people. Why do you hate people? Why don't you care? You're uncaring. And this is on and on it goes. But you know something? I guarantee you this. Chuck Schumer's not going to be here to worry about this debt in a few years. I mean, Pelosi will be by virtue of being eternal. But otherwise, there are a lot of people in Congress who are not going to be there to have to worry about this down the road. So I say stand up to these people. Fight back and make spending an issue going into 2020. I think it's a winning issue. I think it's always been a winning issue for Republicans. I think every time Republicans have made fighting spending and cutting the size of government an issue, going all the way back to Reagan, it has been a winner for them. When Republicans spend and when Republicans don't care about these issues, look at the tarnished legacy of George W. Bush. And that's all you need to know. Look at how Reagan stacks up in history versus George W. Bush in history. And look at those two. Just on spending and the size of government. Look at the two side by side, and you see exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.